Around Comics, episode 60. Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of Around Comics, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo.
And next
Yo,
is...
Yo, Adrian.
Yo.
Next is the man who brings the funny and the beer. That's this week's moniker. Our other co-host, Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm not going to chase no chicken around, some turkey fried moron.
It's an all Rocky.
It's all Rocky.
Yeah. We're celebrating the release
if
of
I
Rocky
can,
12.
I don't know if I can make a. I'm now competing with Crank, Chris Cranks
for the Rocky.
Yeah. If I can learn to like all y'all and you can all learn to like me, then maybe everyone can learn to like each other.
Das vida.
Oh. And then the guy that looks like Gorbachev gets up.
slow clap. He does the slow clap. Yeah.
Hey, welcome everyone to another Monday edition of Around Comics. I'd like to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Athena Voltaire.
Athena Voltaire, the collected webcomics coming in December from Ape Entertainment. What mysteries lurk in a monastery hidden in the Himalayas, and who or what protects those secrets? And why is the daughter of Dracula after Athena Voltaire? This 96-page trade paperback collects the entire run of the Eisner Award-nominated online adventures for the first time ever in print, as well as sketches, pinups, and more. Athena Voltaire, High Adventure, takes flight this December.
I know why the daughter of Dracula is after Athena Voltaire. She's sick of living in the shadow of her father, Dracula.
Dracula.
Because she doesn't even have
familiar,
a name.
It's
She's
Dracula.
Just daughter of Dracula. Daughter.
Steve Dracula.
Athena. So thank you to Steve Bryant for that, and I think we're going to have some fun Athena Voltaire announcements in the upcoming week, so look forward to those. I'd like to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9-ish at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
11.
I refer to that as the great lie.
Dark Tower is located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's pull list membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere.
Just ask Mike Norton.
Exactly. Oh, I was going to say, he snuck up behind me.
It's the other bearded artist,
Dave Wachter.
I'm growing a beard as well.
Dave Wachter.
I want to be an artist.
Yeah, I noticed that,
First
Tom.
Step is grow a beard.
Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, indie comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come on into Dark Tower.
Come on!
And collectibles.
Come on back now, you hear?
Mr. Wachter, would you like to join us this evening?
No.
What are you guys up to?
Recording an episode.
We're about to talk
Around Comics. It's this podcast we do. We talk about comic books.
We talk about funny books.
Funny books. My dad used to call them funny. Why are you reading them funny books?
Why are you reading them funny books? Don't you like girls?
Yeah, I do.
Put them books down.
I guess I could talk about the news. I don't have any top of the stack.
Oh, that's all right, everyone.
Are you aware of what year it is?
No.
It's the year of Alan Moore. It was a trick question. I knew you weren't going to
know.
Well, everyone, welcome the artist of Scar Tissue, Fiendish Fables, and many various upcoming projects, Mr. Dave Wachter. Dave, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
This proves, once again, that just about anyone who walks in off the street can sit down on Around Comic. Where am I at?
Speaking of the year of Alan Moore.
Thank you.
We're reading something this month, aren't we? Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing is this month. December is, it's actually the 13 months of Alan Moore. It's not really a year. We've started it in December, and this month is Swamp Thing.
Feel free to take a bi-month.
Tom, I believe you were starting up a Skype group.
I'm trying to figure out when.
People are very excited about Skyping with you.
I guess.
Tom, you want to Skype with me?
I'm just going to yell at them. I'm just going to be like, what? Oh, you don't understand it.
You're not getting
You're
the
not
subtext.
You're not getting it. I'm like, there's so many layers
don't
to this.
Understand.
The worms absorbed his memories.
What do you mean?
Don't
you
understand?
Just like the United States in the early 17th. What are you talking about?
Well, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can go to our website, to our forum, and there's a thread there about the Alan Moore Book Club. We're reading a bunch of Alan Moore stuff in the next year, and and Tom's going to be yelling at people about
I'm
it.
I'm going to get you online, and then I'm going to
berate you.
I'm going to record it.
And if you don't have enough Alan Moore trade paperbacks or comics in your collection to join in on the fun, you can always buy more at the Shop It Around Comics. We have all of the books
Alan
that were designated.
Book Club. There
books, they're all there. Mm-hmm. So you can shop there and give us a handout.
You
know, because we're like homeless podcasters.
You can buy some tissues from when I make you cry because you don't know what's going on at Swamp Thing.
Yes, check that thread. Tom will be posting when he's going to be doing the Skype conferences.
1 a.m. on Wednesday.
And hopefully I'll be able to sneak in on a couple. I'm going to miss the first
the
one.
I can't say it. The first one?
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Be so kind, everyone, if you can drop us an iTunes music review at the iTunes Music Store. I want to also, as a note here, thank the Comic Book Queers podcast.
Hey, what? Who'd you call queer?
The Comic Book Queers.
Oh, okay.
Take it as a compliment.
Tom and I had the pleasure to sit in on their episode and on heterosexuality.
I wasn't invited.
You were invited. But you were in the suburbs.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
It's episode 14, and it was a lot of fun.
You guys
to be a
were
part
fantastic.
Of.
That's all. It was amazing to hear you.
You
funny
should have heard
the
stuff.
Entertaining. You everything.
Just,
you're not here.
Yeah,
you were just upset.
Just effort. There seemed to be effort put into thought.
Yeah, there
thinking.
Was like you know.
Yeah, that
great
doesn't
comic.
Happen here.
I don't know.
You should have seen the stuff on the cutting room floor.
I was jealous.
Well,
you should have.
Steve and Eric and Katie are wonderful people. Check out the Comic Book Queers podcast if you have a chance. They have a lot of fun. And are great comic book fans. Well, guys,
Katie's
I guess it's
just like you guys. She likes women, like most of the people that listen to this.
Nice.
Nice.
Who doesn't, right?
Who doesn't, yeah, exactly.
Hey, I did want to mention one other thing that popped up over the last week, and I think everybody probably knows because it seems like every comic book fan that's online is already on it, but Comic Space.
Oh, Comic Space, sure.
It's a networking sort of MySpace-ish kind of thing, like for comic fans, and we're on there. Of course, it's comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can visit us and be our friend, be our virtual friend.
My picture is Talkie Tawny on a big red phone. I found someone else that had the same picture, and we became friends.
Oh,
so I found both had
isn't that sweet?
Talkie Tawny wearing
Warren Ellis is my friend. I feel
he's not
really. Oh,
he's not. Your friend.
Not really. Oh. It's not even him. It's an assistant. It's an intern that works for him.
But the picture is Warren Ellis.
That's not even his picture. That's
he only hires people that look just like
he
him.
He doesn't have
or he makes them have surgery until they do look like him.
Slowly over the course of 10 years. Finally, I have to let you go. I only have one more to go. Damn it.
The Warren
what
Ellis
am I gonna do with
game.
These eyebrows?
All right, guys, shall we move over to the news desk?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Put everything in a box.
I just got settled here.
It's time for Wire to Wire Comic News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, from the top, our first story is Sandman Mystery Theater returns.
Last week.
Yeah, absolutely. The Vertigo classic has returned with a vengeance. The fertile mind of writer John Nye Reiber and the dynamic pen of artist Eric Wynn have created a Sandman tale that both honors the classic character and will stand as a classic in its own right. A new age of terror demands a new Sandman to quell its nightmares. This disturbing new miniseries follows the final days of Wesley Dodds and his lifelong love, Diane Belmont, as they encounter a harrowing fate while traveling in Afghanistan circa 1997. 10 years later, with American troops on the ground in that country, wartime photojournalist Kieran Marshall is forced to take up the mantle of Wesley's former alter ego, the terrifying crime fighter known as the Sandman.
I have a question about it.
Yes.
Because they say it's the last days of Wesley Dodds, but wasn't Kingdom Come the last days of Wesley Dodds already?
But that's not continuity. That's not canon.
But this is? Just
I know this.
Well, no, wasn't that...
No, he dies
was that,
in JSA. He actually died. In continuity.
In continuity, and so Kingdom Come is
Kingdom Come's a fictional work.
It's a Elsewhere.
No, and that, the stuff that happens in there doesn't have anything.
That's like Elsewhere. Or
yeah,
yeah, right?
Yes,
kind of.
Yeah,
it is.
It is Elsewhere.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's right here.
I was just confused. That's all.
It is.
I just wanted. Okay.
Did you guys pick up the new Sandman mystery?
I did.
I wait for the trade.
Yeah,
actually,
I haven't read it yet.
I liked it. I was kind of, you know, like you, I was expecting something different, you know, something more along the lines of the stuff Matt Wagner had done, mm-hmm. and that noirish, and it's really not that.
It is not
at
it
all.
Is not the noirish Sandman Mystery Theater that, you know, that I love, you know, and Eric Wynn, I'm assuming it's pronounced Wynn, who I loved his work on Strange Girl. It's so not Guy Davis, and I love that series so much. That
but how, you can't expect it to be. I mean, there's you know, however many issues of that were already done, so mm-hmm. they're certainly not. But at the same time,
you
I was sort of expecting.
Tattoo.
I was expecting something along those lines, and it's not at all. It's completely different. But once I kind of got past that aspect of it, I did really enjoy the story, and am interested to see where it goes. It, you know, that first issue, there's way more questions at the end of it mm-hmm. than there are answers, mm-hmm. certainly. But I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
I need to back up and get rid of my preconceived notions of what I think that series should be and read it again.
You know.
Yes, Tom.
Start
yes.
from the beginning.
And next story is Sam Raimi to direct The Shadow. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Columbia Pictures and Sam Raimi know.
Oh.
After a lengthy negotiation, Columbia has acquired the screen rights to The Shadow, the legendary 1930s pulp hero, for a big screen adaptation to be produced by Raimi and Josh Donen through their Buckaroo Entertainment banner. Michael Uslan is also producing via his Comic Book Movies LLC branded entertainment. So that's kind of interesting. I mean,
it won't be The Shadow unless they have a Baldwin involved.
That's true. It's actually, it's contractually, somehow the Baldwin's got that into the rights of that one of them. Billy has to be like the caterer.
Somehow the Baldwin's.
There has to be a Baldwin.
With Raimi involved in it, I think, you know, that's a plus. You know, he's shown that he obviously has the ability to take something from comic book to mm-hmm. film and do a great job with it. And
until he picked Topher Grace for Spawn for Venom.
We haven't seen.
Hasn't
he
even
seen the
yeah.
movie
yet.
Fanboy.
No, I, you know,
worst
check it out.
Casting choice ever.
Ever.
No, I agree. I like Raimi. I love The Shadow. So, you know, it's one of those that will definitely be on my limited movie radar, as it seems more and more
Chris
difficult.
Chris hasn't seen a movie in 10 years.
I can't even remember the last movie I saw.
Batman. With Michael
Vendetta.
Keaton.
Wasn't
yeah,
it
you
V?
In this.
I think
V for Vendetta, maybe the last movie I saw at the movie
Christ.
Theater. No, Kinky Boots. Kinky Boots was.
You saw that at the theater?
Yes.
Independence Day.
The last thing I saw at the theater was like
Ghostbusters.
Spider-Man 2.
Well, that's a long time ago, David.
Yeah.
Get out more often.
A really long time ago. Yeah, wait a second. I bet I absolutely guarantee the next movie you're going to see is
Spider-Man 3. It's the only movies I go to the theater for.
If it's not Spider-Man,
I don't go.
That's got Spider-Man and I don't go.
Now, they could be having like a Spider-Man the cartoon movie marathon or something like that. I'd go to that.
Spider-Man.
I'd go to Bruin View for that.
Next story.
Action Comics number 847 change. DC Comics announces that part 4 of the landmark Last Sun storyline by Geoff Johns and Richard Donner and illustrated by Adam Kubert has been moved from January's Action Comics number 847 to March's issue number 848. Action Comics 847 will feature a new story written by Dwayne McDuffie and illustrated by Renato Guedes.
Wait a minute. January is 847 and then
yeah, I'm confused.
You're not going to see another Action Comics until March?
Yeah.
So they're...
Because Donner's so
they're,
busy.
They're delaying it and putting,
and
a, fill
putting
in.
A fill-in issue.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's 3D.
Boycott DC.
Wait, what? I'm not buying DC comics anymore.
I will not. You know what? I love DC, but I'm dropping all of them now.
Which one is the 3D issue?
Go with your dollar.
The 3D issue has been, like, canceled, I think.
No, it's 848 now.
Oh,
847 was going to be the 3D issue.
Oh, it was going to be.
Yeah.
So it takes 3 months to do a 3D issue?
I guess.
Well, are you guys liking
the technology?
Are you guys liking the Johns Donner Action Comics?
I did like it. Yeah, it's disappointing because I, you know, kind of wait that long, but
it'll be there.
Yeah, it'll be there. It's not that. I mean, you know,
It's not the end of the world.
Take his belt and shoelaces.
I'm going to hang myself because Action Comics isn't available. But, you know.
I wanted that 3D issue by Valentine's Day.
If they hadn't released a press release, I would never even have fucking noticed. It was like, you know, it's like... I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't even matter.
Oh, Dwayne McDuffie. Yeah. Well, at least they got Dwayne McDuffie to do it.
Shouldn't have announced it.
Yeah.
Just they're damned if they do it.
DC, you know...
I don't read it.
With the exception of maybe one comic in the last couple months, I think that the fill-in issues that they've been putting in have been pretty solid.
I mean, Dwayne McDuffie is not like some guy you don't know, so...
I didn't care for the Batman fill-in.
That's one I was talking about.
I like the art. Tom Mandrake's a good artist, but the story in those have just not been up to snuff compared to what was happening. And that may not be Ostrander's fault. I mean, he may have just been a last-minute thing. He had to throw a story into it. But at the same time, it's just enjoying that series a lot. And then,
you notice it whenever it's a big drop-off.
Yeah.
And plus, with Detective Comics being so strong right now.
Right.
And Paul Dini is just nailing Batman.
He is just gotten Batman nailed down.
Oh. And I thought that was the Midnighter who did that.
That's
let's not go there.
Boom.
All right, next story.
Spider-Man Reign number 1 sells out.
Twig and Barry.
Carrie Andrews' story of an aged Peter Parker coming out of retirement has struck a chord with fans, leading the first issue of Spider-Man Reign to sell out at Diamond. Marvel is rushing back to press with a new interior art variant cover by Andrews, guaranteed to only increase the conversation swirling around this book. There's been a lot of talk that this miniseries is the Dark Knight Returns moment for the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
One issue into it, and I'd say we're well on our way to just such an occurrence, says Kevin Huxford of Newsarama.
Thanks, Kevin.
Well, I haven't read it. I didn't pick it up. And you know, there has been a lot of comparison to Dark Knight, but I read the premise of it.
And it's Dark Knight.
And it is Dark Knight. It's like a retired, older Peter Parker. He's in a sort of futuristic world that it's very dark and
is the world disturbing?
The world is very overrun. It's overrun and
president.
Oh, superheroes are outlawed. And he has to come back and
there's a new Green Goblin game.
Really?
I don't know. I was gonna say Jesus.
So I mean, yeah,
there's a new Robin. Oh wait, that was.
But
Aunt May.
Aunt May is still alive.
There's a lot of comparisons to Dark Knight, but it seems like it was kind of following the same premise.
He's jumping off the building in front of a lightning bolt.
Bruce Wayne's balls and penis.
No,
Dark Knight.
There is a scene. There is a scene that I saw of. It's like Dr. Octopus, and it's all silhouetted, and he's carrying Peter across, and there's like lightning and stuff. It's like, well, I guess,
Ever seen that?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We actually were sold out here at the shop, so I didn't have a chance to read it. So.
Are you a partner?
Yeah.
Unlike you, he likes us.
Oh,
yeah.
I like the shop. I just don't
care
for the owners. Shop manager angry.
I'll check it out whenever the reprints come in.
All right, next story. DC remembers Martin O'Dell. Artist Martin O'Dell, co-creator of the Golden Age Green Lantern, passed away on December 9th at the age of 91. Marty was a gentle soul who got a renewed lease on life from discovering his fans after years away from comics, says DC Comics president and publisher Paul Levitz. He and Carrie delighted in the convention circuit and will miss both their warmth and laughter. Nodell began his comics career in the late 1930s and first drew Green Lantern in 1940's All-American Comics No. 16, working with writer, co-creator Bill Finger. The character proved popular enough to earn a solo title the following year. Nodell also illustrated the Green Lantern chapters for several Justice Society of America adventures in All-Star Comics. So, passing of a legendary creator.
Did you ever see the story about where he got the idea for Green Lantern?
No.
He was on the train, and there was this guy walking through the train carrying a lantern.
No
like
way.
Swinging it around. And he was like,
That would be an interesting...
Yeah, that was the idea for
him. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there a train wreck or something? The first... Wasn't that first issue that it was a train crash?
Alan Scott was like an engineer in China, I think. Was I haven't read it in a long time. Yeah. But he was like building a bridge for a train or something.
Yeah, and I thought there was a train involved.
A meteorite. Ooh. Then he decides to make into a lantern, which is what you would do
sure.
in that situation. That's what I would do. And so on. To Martin Nodell.
Yeah, there you go. Rest in peace, Martin.
Absolutely.
Next story. Oni Press gets a jumper license. Fox Licensing has granted Oni Press a license to produce a comic book adaptation of Jumper, a science fiction film that is currently in production and is slated to debut in 2008. I'm missing 1998 for some reason. Time Machine. Under the terms of the agreement, Oni will produce a 4-issue miniseries, which will also be collected in a trade paperback. So get ready to wait. I'm kidding.
Oh.
Based on a novel by Stephen Gold, Jumper sports a screenplay by David Goyer. That's good. Doug Lyman is directing the saga of an abused youth who suddenly discovers that he can teleport from one place to another. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's good for Oni, you know. It's nice to see Oni get, you know, some licensed stuff. Maybe you can sort of put them, you know, put a bigger spotlight on their other works and help them out. Because they're a great publisher.
What other books do they publish?
Queen and Country?
I've never heard
of that. Activate Chris Robot.
Chris Bot is back in the house.
Only read Queen and Country?
Excuse me?
Gene Colan do Terra Chase sketch.
Have you read Queen and Country?
Stop it.
Oni Press.
Don't read comic book movie adaptation.
Original. Damn, no next story to go to.
That means that the...
I don't get to read one?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Here,
if I was John Suntra, so we can make
one up. I'll give one up. I'll make one for you.
We'll make up a new story.
Hold for editing and
newsflash.
This just in: Dave is awesome.
It's officially the news because I wrote it in pen.
Actually, I got an email today from an artist that's doing a commission for me of Doctor Doom. Moving chess pieces of that look like.
Do you got somebody else doing that too?
I saw that.
What's up with that?
Awesome. Fantastic. Oh, who was that amazing artist?
Mr. Dave Wachter, the best pound for pound.
I've never heard of him.
Pound
what
for
does
pound.
He do?
He only weighs 25 pounds though. That's perfect.
Hey, the holidays, I'm up to 27. I feel fat.
It's amazing that you can get those two hooks for hands to draw like that.
Yes, awesome, awesome looking initial sketches on that, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, you've only been waiting a month, right?
No, it's all right.
Dave's complaining.
If people are interested.
Fucking artist.
Strike first.
Yeah, try and pimp your
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If people are interested in commissions or sketches, where can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at my website, DaveDrawsComics.com, and you can send me an email through there. It's just Dave@DaveDrawsComics.com. I should just call it Dave@DaveDaveDave.com.
Dave@Dave.com.
Dave site.
Dave.
All right, guys. Well, that will wrap up this week's headlines and our Wired Wire comic book news. That means it is time for Top of the Stack. Right, it's Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. I think we're just going to kind of meander today and talk about...
My word. He stole my word.
Word thief.
What, you copyrighted meander?
No. Way to lightbox that word off of him.
Greg Land.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the Greg Land?
Word tracer.
He's a word tracer.
I think we're just going to talk about a few things we've been reading, catching up on. Tom, you always start us off. What have you been reading?
This week, there wasn't anything I read that I thought was bad, but there wasn't anything I read that, like, jumped out at me, like, this is fantastic.
Choked you?
Yeah. Previous weeks, probably the best thing I read, I really enjoyed X Factor. The last issue X Factor was
very good.
Really,
yeah,
it was really good, and I think you see how completely different that X book is
from any other
X books. Like, he's really, Peter David's really carved out his own mark on that book.
It's the only X book I read now. I mean, I tried to pick up Brubaker's Uncanny just because it was Brubaker, and I didn't pick up the last issue. I just realized that I really don't care. But X Factor,
I think that's proven that no writer can make Nightcrawler interesting to me anymore.
Well, I think part of it is, and I think this goes back to X Factor, is that, you know, with the characters in the other X-Books, we've seen so much from them that it's just not that interesting any longer. But with, like, X-Factor, you got a bunch of characters that you don't know all that much about, so you can learn more, and those characters are being developed. You know, it's not sort of like the same old cliche. It's not, you know, it's not a Wolverine.
More,
it's not
more
a saber
unpredictable is what their actions are going to be.
Yeah.
And it's, there's more tension to it because something could actually, you feel like something could actually happen to this.
Right.
As opposed to, like, well, they're never going to get rid of Nightcrawler, so who cares? You know, it's nothing's going to happen to them.
You look like you got a character like Jamie Madrix, who's been around since the 70s. But, I mean, how much do you know
about
until
him.
Peter David decided to, like, make that character.
Well, the thing with X, like, especially this last issue, actually the last two, I mean, if you look at those books sort of on their own, there isn't a whole lot of action or anything. You know, there's no big fights.
Almost none.
But they're really entertaining. They're really, you know, they're really enjoyable books, and you're just learning about these characters and finding out so much more, you know, and it's just new. I think that's a big thing. And we were talking about this earlier, Chris and I, about sort of the X books and a lot of the problems.
They don't speak to me.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times with what we've seen from X books over the years, and what I think is a big problem is that there's no real, you know, they just throw these teams together and put them out there in situations, and there's no one that you're really, you know, following. There's no real clear leader in any of those books. It's like, you know, the new Uncanny Brubaker's book. It's like, who's leading that group, or who's leading that book? Who are you following? Is Nightcrawler? As much as I like Nightcrawler, I don't think he's strong enough to really lead a group book. Mm-hmm. I don't mean a group, but a group.
Well, and,
book.
Then,
like,
and then Marvel,
you, so, you know,
Marvel
well, could,
tried.
It was
to,
called Excalibur.
Yeah. Well, and then Marvel tried to put a lot of those characters in their own books. They had the Gambit series and the Rogue series,
right?
And Nightcrawler, and out of all of the single character X books, I thought Mystique was probably the most entertaining, and it just, you know, didn't do sales. But it's because it was it was a character that I didn't know that much about, and I thought there was a lot of places that they could go, and I thought it was entertaining. But that's, you know, going back to X Factor. That's why I don't know this, you know, this group of characters. I don't know if anyone really does. So it's entertaining because there's stuff to be revealed. And mm-hmm. I think Madrix is probably one of the most entertaining characters in the Marvel Universe right now because there's so much you can do with him.
Yeah, well, I love the scene with what's her name?
Monet. Trying to find the duplicate that had sex.
Slamming him against the wall.
And so she gets the one that she wants, and she gets one that's crying and one who's a hypochondriac. Yeah. He's like, God, my blood pressure must be skyrocketing.
As Layla Miller, is that just a neat character?
Oh, nice. Layla, yeah,
she
almost.
She knows things.
She's like the postmodern character in it, where she's you almost expect her to turn her, you know. I don't know. Somebody was talking about this. I don't remember, but
Vince
was it Vince in Bullpen Bulletins?
We can mention them. It's
I was just trying to remember what they're called. Bullpen Bulldogs.
It's called bologna
sandwiches. I don't know.
Bullfights.
He was talking about where, you know, Layla Mills is the type of character who, like, almost knows that she's a character in a book.
Right. She's
know?
Breaking through that fourth wall a little bit, and you're you kind of saw that this week in they were sort of making a joke. I think it was Avalanche was sort of making a joke about her.
You mean Richter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Richter. Sorry.
Avalanche is a bad
guy.
Why do I even fucking tell that? I'm a DC nerd.
But, yeah, I mean, you just...
Icicle.
The thing that amazes me about Peter David is, you know, like this, you know, he did the Madrix stuff, and then he did this, and I've loved it all. But then I picked up a book, you know, like Wonder Man this week by Peter David, and I figured, oh, it's Peter David. I had no interest in the book.
How was that?
Well, I had zero interest. I mean, I like Wonder Man as a character, you know, but I really didn't care about a new Wonder Man series.
The concept of Wonder
Man, probably more than
the idea.
Except Peter David. Well, Peter David was writing it, so I figured, oh, it's going to be good. And then I read it, and I was like, wow, that's, you know, what Peter David is.
Peter
that?
David, he epitomizes the hit or miss writer for me. There's some stuff that I love, and there's some stuff I'm like,
Grant Morrison would be on that list for me, but that's another story.
That's
for a different
another
time.
Another episode. The Sal episode.
So.
Where you reveal all your...
The Sal.
This is how I'm going to read a list of all the creators, and I'm going to tell you what I think about them.
Have you guys ever thought about doing, you know, like the X-Men? You know, we do a Sal episode.
Just
Sal.
We're
going to
do
like
one
his
where
own
we play
solo
baseball.
Episode.
Oh, solo. Like, the, you know, when Kiss did their solo albums, that kind of thing. Yeah. You got the Peter Criss solo. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
and then we see which one gets canceled first.
I did do. Well, I, you know, out of I did do one.
Yeah,
solo.
Yes, you did.
True. I did do one solo.
The San Diego episode?
Yeah. When you guys were, I don't know, where were you
taking
guys?
A break? I don't know.
Bums. Anyway.
All that. I had my leg taken off.
Well, like Tom, I, you know, I liked a lot of the stuff I read, but there wasn't one book that really, really jumped out at me at all. But there was some good stuff. The Spirit by...
Spirit was very good.
By Darwin Cook and Jay Bone and Dave Stewart. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I thought the artwork was great. Darwin Cook's stuff is just awesome for that period kind of stuff where he's, you know, retro.
I was talking to somebody on a forum about the artwork in which, you know, I really liked the artwork. I just wish that it had more of Eisner's experimentation in panel and page layouts. Because I was actually, I mean, it really came off, you know, when you read The Spirit, I know you kind of want all this, you know, experimental kind of
outside of the,
things
the...
going on in the panel and page layouts. And then, you know, I read this and it was just, it was really standard.
I did really like the sort of, you know, intro page, the double page spread.
See, I like the way it looks interesting by itself.
Uh-huh.
But I actually.
It almost looked like an ad.
Yeah.
I skipped over it. At first, because I thought it was an ad.
Yeah.
And then and it was totally the opposite of what Eisner did in his pages, in which it was worked into the artwork and it was part of the story. Those two pages were not part of the story. I mean, you flip it open and there's the spirit running, and then you turn the page and there he is coming out of the back seat of a car.
I think Darwin
Cook's
It was really cool looking by itself, but I didn't really think it did anything.
I think Darwin Cook's in a position that's kind of odd because I think people want. Yeah, this whole time Dave's got another book that he's demonstrating. He's demonstrating what it was like to turn the page.
It would be here on this page. What I think the intent there was is that I read this like a TV episode, and so you had the intro into the episode, and then that was the opening credits. Which,
see, that's sort of why I thought that was an ad too.
Well, yeah, because
it looked kind of slick, like a car.
I think there was
I think there may have been
another intention. And if you read the story, it's set, you know, in today. It's not. Mm-hmm. This isn't, you know, 1947.
Yeah, they make
Spirit.
A point. They
it's,
make a point
it's,
of
it's
saying
Spirit,
that
same mm-hmm. character, but it's today. And I think maybe that was part of what he was doing with that.
Sort of make
spread.
It look modern. It's a very modern,
sort of modern,
spread.
But at the same time, and I really enjoyed it because I thought it was, you know, you're talking about the experimentation. I thought it was taking something that is. Could easily become cliche, or you've seen so much of, you know, when you think of The Spirit, when you think of Will Eisner, you think of that, you know, opening with The Spirit and those letters, and some way it's being done in an interesting way. And I thought he still did that, but he did it in a different way that we haven't seen before, in something that was very modern and very interesting. Right. And I think that was
it's
maybe
sort of
part
a trap
of what
for
well yeah that. Absolutely. I mean, you know if you do it, which if you look at last week, they had The Spirit Batman. And that was a very Eisner-esque Spirit opening when the letters of the sign are falling down around them and they spell out the Spirit. That was, you know, extremely...
sounds drool.
I just spit
he's
on
soaked
myself.
In his own drool over here.
That was
it
very
was really good. It
was very reminiscent of the classic Eisner stuff.
Just with this one, I felt like... I mean, you got to find a new way to do that experimentation, of course, and you got to find your own flavor for it. But
I liked it.
You know, there's a certain purpose that you're trying to do with it, and there's a certain goal you're trying to reach. You can experiment in a different way, but you're trying to reach the same goal, you know?
Yeah.
And he doesn't reach that goal with that, at least with that two-page
spread.
Well,
I mean, what do you think was Eisner's goal originally with doing it then?
Well,
what was the goal? I mean, what was Eisner's goal, and what do you think Cook's goal was then?
Well, I know, I mean, in Eisner's goal, and I can't say what his goal was, what his intentions exactly were, but I can say what did happen is that he worked it into, you know, like I said, as being a part of the story, and that it was integral to the story. I mean, it was actually the title and everything, and the credits were a piece of the picture.
Right.
Were a part. It told a story as well. And it was an essential part of the story. Whereas this two-page spread, you could take it out and honestly,
it wouldn't change.
It wouldn't
the story.
Change the story at all.
Of, you also have to think of how much in this story. If someone were to tell you, you have to take characters from the spirit and make it modern, and you can't have Ebony in a book. There's no way you can make that work. Well, you know, he made it work.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, was, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I hope John Suntress was happy because he was complaining about that Ebony didn't show up in the
Batman spirit.
But,
so I want to give Cook credit on the writing side for being able to take stuff like cell phones and newscasts, and he did a very good job of.
Oh, no, I thought it was. I enjoyed it, and I thought it was very good. Yeah. I mean, these are just things that I.
Well,
oh, yeah,
I don't want to beat this two-page spread to death.
God damn it!
But once again, think of it as opening credits, and just like you would watch a TV show, if you take those opening credits out, the episode still works.
But that's not what Eisner did. Eisner did
right.
the opposite.
Right.
He made it so that it was integral. I know,
his
but it does say
John.
Will Eisner's the spirit.
No.
If you're going so, to, if you're going, yeah, I mean, there's a certain
legacy
there.
I also read, you know, if you remember, I did a top of the stack of John Law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a different guy doing it. Gary Schalliner was doing it. And it was for IDW.
Yeah.
And he was able to capture that. I mean, he also did the experimentation with the. But the panel, maybe it's not as much experimenting now that Eisner's done a lot of it. But
or
you know, it did.
Homage.
He broke up the panels.
Well, that's,
what, and
that's
did a
the
lot
difference.
Of that
it's like,
of
is
stuff
it, you're
too,
not really going to
really
experiment
enjoyed.
So much anymore because Eisner did so much of that. And anytime you do anything
Make
along those lines, it's going to be it's not going to be an experiment. No. It's going to be an homage.
Right.
Where I think Cook was trying to experiment. Maybe it's maybe it's a failed experiment. But
in the other pages too, he didn't do any experimenting.
True enough.
That was very standard.
Yeah.
And that was a little frustrating for me because I was reading it and I was just going, I was craving the breakout of the panel walls. I want to see, you know, a shadow make the side of the panel. I want to see, you know, more interesting lighting. I mean, he did a lot of great things and his artwork is beautiful and stuff like that. But, you know, these are just the things that I'm reading it that I'm
Other
craving.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
It was fine, except for that one guy who was, his acting was just awful, you know?
No, I can certainly see what you're saying.
Overall, I did enjoy the book. I mean, these are, you know.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Are you liking the resurgence of the spirit, you know, for a whole new generation?
I am. Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's a great character. And
only help people go look at Eisner stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm doing. I've only read select things out of Eisner. I mean, really. I mean, there's so much. It's hard, too, because if you want to go back and get Eisner, you got to pay $50.
Yeah.
And there's like 30 volumes.
It's very intense.
You know?
But I will
maybe
say.
You can go to Amazon and get them for $35, and there's still 30 volumes, and they're all hardcover. You can't find paperback versions of them. And
yeah, they're right over there. That was a good point.
No, that's the contract that.
Yeah, that's Eisner's other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking
stuff.
Of Spirit. They have all of they've
yeah,
got like 20,
the hardcovers, which are gorgeous and they're
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
but
it's really hard to lay down all that money and that's
but it
problem,
is a good point.
Least.
You know, I had the same sort of thing. It's like when I was done reading this, like I really wanted to go back. I have a couple of the Spirit archives, and it's like wow, I really wanted to get more of them. So
that's why I
I'm
think
too
people
busy
should
buying
go
EC archives
because people should go read the John Law stuff that Challoner did too.
Yeah,
the
last one he did
that was beautiful, and now and now I think there it. Recently came out in trade.
Oh, okay.
The last
story. Yeah, yeah.
So now I think there's two trades of that.
Can't wait until the next podcast? Be sure to check out AroundComics.com for breaking news, reviews, and opinions.
Thinking about the spirit, this is something I had talked to you about, Chris, a while back. I was reading, I had gotten the Essentials Shazam archive.
Yeah.
And I was reading that. And I was sitting there.
Showcase?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Showcase. Yeah. I keep making that mistake. But, and I'm reading, you know, I read the first issue, and it's, you know,
but then
they go into the, you know, the origin of Billy and that, and I'm sitting there going, you know, his origin is he's this homeless kid living on the streets selling papers. I'm like, has anybody ever written anything about how he became homeless?
The origin of Billy Batson.
Yeah, it's like, how did he get there? He's just this, you know,
Boston
it's like, but then
city is filled
you,
with homeless.
Well,
kids.
you think
Born
about like
way, yeah.
The spirit and you know and John Law. There's that homeless newspaper kid that just hangs around. And
he is.
It was very common.
Newbin.
Yeah, Newbin.
Actually, back because he in the new John Laws, he's a little white blonde haired kid, but he wasn't in the original ones because John Law. Later is the spirit. I mean, it's the same character, basically. I mean, he turned John Law into the
spirit.
Yeah.
But I just I don't know why I was thinking about that when I was reading The Spirit. I'm like, where do all these homeless kids just, you know, it's like,
where the hell did all these homeless kids
they're just popping up everywhere.
That's
what they
do. Anyway. Why is the Newsboy Legion hat? Why aren't your parents more concerned about that?
I think somebody needs to write the origin of Billy Batson.
I would say no.
No? You don't want to see that story?
Keep the mystery.
Yeah, why not?
Come on, he was human before he was Shazam. He was a person.
Why do comic book fans hate mystery? They have to have everything explained out and then made it fit into continuity.
I just want to know how this
poor
kid...
It would just end up being a series like his parents.
Why don't you go find out how real kids become homeless and do something about that?
That's much, much too complicated.
Because it's like, what would happen? It's going to be something like his parents are on drugs or his parents die in a car crash.
This is like 1936 or something?
They didn't have drugs then?
They didn't have drugs.
Well,
or car crashes.
Yeah. There's a horse trampled by horses. My pants are in
it's not like there was a recession or a depression going on.
Shot by somebody.
All right. This is plausible.
Well, I'll bring my
sweet apartment for
my top of the stack. Tom's on a roll.
That's what I'm talking about. There's questions.
How do you
there,
get that
Tom?
Apartment?
How do you get the? You know. He's selling papers that give him a job, but, you know, I don't know.
He worked
and then all of a sudden he just follows this, you know, shadowy character into the tunnel and...
Don't even get me started on...
If you're a homeless kid living on the streets, aren't you a little more street smart than to just follow some dude and hey, kid, come here.
Oh, you know what? You know what?
Why not?
He got molested probably 20 times before he found the wizard. He probably fell for that to a trick. Constantly.
That's
you want that Vertigo miniseries? The trial to Billy Batson? I suggest we leave it as is.
Okay.
Don't even get me started on... there can be a backup story about Taki Tani going to a tailor and trying to get a suit to properly fit a walking tiger.
All right.
Oh, man.
Oh,
Dave, what were you reading this week? Anything good?
You know what? I didn't get to read much of the new stuff that came out over the past 2 weeks. I've been busy...
working on a commission for...
Doodling on stuff and trying to get that book done that I'm working on.
What's that book called?
Spider-Man.
You ever heard of it? It's called The Amazing Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
And it's being written by Frank Miller.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm doing the art. It's pretty cool. No, it's I'm working on the fifth issue of Scar Tissue, so I've been really busy. And I'm trying to get it all done because this issue is like 36 pages long.
I heard recently that that Scar Tissue went from being an ongoing to a miniseries. Is that correct?
It was never definite what it was. It was like, will the next issue come out? I mean, it says to be continued.
It's meta.
But will
it's
it?
Very meta. It's like very meta.
If you look really close, it may have been trimmed off when it was printed, but it says to be continued. Question mark.
This could be the end.
No, I mean, this has always been, I mean, the issue I'm working on now, I mean, originally it was the story arc. We thought it was going to be 4 issues, and then it got moved up to 5-issue story arc. So it was always going to be the end of the story arc.
Okay.
You know, so we always knew that. And after that, we were never quite sure what we were going to do. I mean, we're self-publishing and stuff. You know, you just, is it going to get picked up by a publisher? Are we ever going to get paid? You know, things like these kind of things are going to factor into it. Exactly. Am I going to be able to eat?
Am I gonna have to follow that guy into the train
although
tunnels
a good,
again? Our own Billy Batson.
Hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do. I'm just waiting for that guy who comes along and suddenly I've got the
sugar daddy
powers, all these different guys and stuff. Shazam! But no, you know, it's a good if you want a good weight loss program, become a comic book artist.
Become poor.
Then just if you're just really poor and you can't afford the food,
there's
no,
a lot of
but
salt.
Anyway,
in
what
it's
we're
all
doing,
about portion size.
Top of the stack.
Yes.
That's right.
Bring it back around, Dave.
So I've been reading a lot of old stuff. I finally finished The Watchmen, which I hadn't read before.
Oh wow!
How was it?
I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
No, actually, right. I thought it was really great. I didn't know if it would live up to expectations. I've also been reading Cerebus for the first time, which is
very
really,
nice.
Very good. And I've been reading Essential Spider-Man Volume 2. And nice. I like Ditko, but I'm just, you know, I can't wait till I get up to the Romita pages.
Sure.
But what I really, another thing that I read
Time Machine episode.
was that Yeah, everything's. I'm about 10 years behind.
On everything. Dave's trying to catch up.
So I just picked up this next new week, thing crisis. Called The Dark Knight Returns. No, I did pick up one thing I wanted to talk about, and it's not new this week, but it's fairly recent. And it goes along with recent news. Is you know the Dable Brothers, yeah. Whatever they're called. You know, so now they're being distributed by Marvel. But so I picked up the first, the collected edition, which is the first two issues of Red Prophet.
Okay.
Which was based on a series of books, I think, by Orson Scott Card. And it's called Red Prophet, Tales of Alvin Maker. Written by Orson Scott Card. Adaptation is by Roland Bernard Brown, and the artwork is by Renato Arlem with Klebs Mora Jr. And there's like a color, some letter, or an editor.
Yeah, well, you know.
And, there's a staple. And at first I was, you know, I was a little conflicted about picking this up. I mean, it's historical fiction, so I was really interested in it, you know, and it had a lot to do with Native Americans and stuff. And I thought, ooh, this will also be good to give to my dad, since he's so into that stuff. I mean, he's really into that stuff. But, and I picked it up, and I was a little worried, though, with it being Orson Scott Card.
And it, he has a reputation.
He has a reputation, yeah, and but I was like, you know, I'm just going to get past that, and this looks pretty good. The artwork looks pretty good. I mean, it's not amazing, but it looks good. Enough to tell the story, and the subject matter seemed really cool. And I started reading in, and they got guys like Tecumseh in it and all this stuff. And I'm from Ohio, so Tecumseh is like everybody knows who Tecumseh is.
I have
is,
no idea know? Who Tecumseh is.
He's a Indian chief.
Oh, okay.
Native American.
It's like Black Hawk.
Native American chief.
All right. Can
but
you,
in the hockey team? He was in because what this takes place, and as it turns out, it's an alternative American history.
Okay.
It's like an alternate timeline, sort of. So things are different. Also, there's people with sort of powers. They call them, I can't remember what they call the powers.
X-Men.
They give them a special. Yes, they call them the X-Men. and it was a really interesting story. And the only thing I was worried about, you know, when I first picked it up, I was like, well, is this going to be. I don't want to read anything and then start getting a subtext of, like, Mormon propaganda. Or
Mormon?
Anything like that. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Orson Scott
Card.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay.
Very
sure.
Outspoken
I'm sorry.
About things and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's fine, you know. But it's just a fiction, so I'll read it. And it was really good. And it was that first two issues, and I enjoyed it a lot. And it was going in directions I did not expect it to, with some very interesting characters. And then by the time I was getting close to the end of the second issue, I started thinking, I think this might be Mormon propaganda.
Like,
you know, just in that. And so, because. You've got a fort, and there's, you know, the white men who run the fort, and they're just terrible, and they're evil bastards. And you've got, they call them the red men, and it's the Native Americans in it, and some of them aren't so great either, but some of them you really sympathize with. And then one of them leaves and goes up north, and then they find, you know, the sort of the nice white people. Because they're building a church and they're very clean and they're very nice, and I was sort of like, and then there were a few things that kind of that took those fears and got rid of them, because, you know, there was a line where, God, what was it?
You have us entranced.
I guess I do, but basically there is a line where, you know, where there's like this Christian guy and he wants to take in the Indian, and he's like, well, that bad white man just wants to kill you all off, and I want to bring you to Jesus and make you civilized like the white man. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty terrible. And I had this thought go through my head. It's like, well, that makes him not a Native American anymore, doesn't it? And but then the next line in the book is the Native American guy going, well, if you make red man like white man, there is no more red man. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. You know, my fears
so
were swayed. But then
Dave's tightrope.
Yeah, see, and I'm on this tightrope, you know.
Now, do you
so,
think? Let me
so
ask
then,
you.
Well, then I'm thinking, and then they have this part where he, you know, the Native American guy meets. There's this kid that
spoilers.
He can only see, and well, it's kind of spoilers, but it's not really going to spoil anything for you. and you start, and then I'm thinking, well, maybe it does have a little. So I went up and looked on Wikipedia, and I found out that the, you know, it's called Red Prophet, Tales of Alvin Maker, that the Alvin Maker guy
is supposed to be basically it's Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church.
Oh, well.
And that it's sort of a tale about that, but it's a fictionalized version. So
do
he
you
sort
like
of has,
this book or not?
So he sort of has superpowers.
He likes it in spite of himself, I think is what it comes
to.
What
I was trying against the wall and
hey,
then picks
I don't
off
just say I like it, it's good. I don't like it, it's bad. You know, it's well, I'm a complicated person.
Can
I
ask you,
a
can
lot
I
of
ask you this?
Conflicting things.
If you didn't...
But I,
if,
yes.
you, if you didn't know
yes.
about Orson Scott Card
right.
being a Mormon,
but I did.
Or
so,
well, no, I'm not. But I'm saying, if you didn't know, do you think you would still have those same feelings about it just by reading it?
So, by the time, but it, especially in a couple scenes at the end, I started going, you know, being, I'm not a Christian and I'm not a religious person,
heathen,
but I was raised as a Christian, and I was raised Catholic. I went to religious school from fourth grade up through high school.
So did I.
So you get, so I know a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stories, and they're just told as stories, and I'm kind of fine with that. But there also is a difference sometimes when you get somebody who's really sort of outspoken, and they're not just trying to tell a story. They also seem to be trying to convince you of something at the same time, and that's.
Well, but isn't that, any, that, isn't that any writer? I mean,
yeah,
at some point,
but
isn't any writer trying
and the
to...
trouble is I can't say that if I didn't know Orson Scott Card, you know, because I did, and I can't imagine that I never saw his name on it, you know? I mean,
no,
that
no, I understand
I had
that.
To go in knowing it was
but
him
the question
and
is,
what
is Orson Scott Card writing this trying to convince people of the you know, the nature
that's
of
the tightrope I was walking.
Well, that's
and that's what I was trying
yeah.
to figure
yeah.
out. And by the end, I said to myself, even though I looked up on Wikipedia that it was really this Alvin Maker is another name for the founder of the Mormon Church and all that kind of – though it's a fictionalized version, I think it's a little weird. It's like giving – it's like having a story about Martin Luther, but you've given him superpowers and stuff. Like that, it's like well, –
making a note of that.
That's a little – because that's basically what's going on here.
Well, you know,
and so but I'm – going to get the next two issues, which are already out.
All right.
Actually, because
you did
enough.
Make the note.
Moses
with lasers. Awesome.
Chris, what have you been reading this
nothing.
Week? Nothing. You didn't
nothing.
Read anything?
I quit.
No. Nothing.
You're looks done. Like Fear Agent's on top of your staff.
Oh!
Literally.
Huh.
I really, really enjoyed Fear Agent this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, it was good.
Don't spoil it for me. I haven't read it yet.
Remember the
spoilers
part?
Ahead.
Ooh.
No,
is there an alien in it?
And it took his brain
they
in
are,
it.
they are on the ninth issue. I believe there are two more issues in the Image run.
That's what I was wondering about. I was like, oh, is this still Image?
I think issue 11 is yeah. the last Image.
Okay.
And then it'll restart
yeah.
with issue number one.
And
at
speaking
Dark
of that, let me ask a mm-hmm. question. Now, is it going to be a continuing series? Because I can't. I know you had the interview, but is it going to be a continuing series?
Yes.
At or... Is it going to be sort of like short story arcs?
It's going to be like BPRD.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's you get a story arc,
so
and there
I
might be a pause in
yeah.
between, and then you get a new one, and
the
maybe it starts at one.
The,
yeah, every time.
The story will continue from where it is left off.
But it won't be like a new issue every month for 12 months a year with the continuing numbering and yeah. all that. It'll probably be like... six issues for six
mm-hmm,
months
mm-hmm.
and then like 3 months off.
And I believe
like that.
I believe that
okay.
Jerome Opena and
Tony Moore
are they're gonna switch off.
Right. Which was always mm-hmm. the plan,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I just wish I could have Fear Agent 3 times a month.
Oh, it is great. And they're gonna start filling in with the you know, the Tales of the Fear Agent, which
those are good.
Yeah.
Yes. And I am, and actually in this issue there is the great backup story, and it's
yeah.
it's like
the restaurant is great.
Yeah. It is yeah, it's a Fear Agent in a.
And it's called
How to Serve Man.
Yes.
And it's a restaurant story with Heath Houston. So a lot of fun. Yeah, Fear Agent just you know month in month out. Fun, you know, Rick's, whenever we first talked to him, his description, I think, has held true through the entire series, and that's the two-fisted man of action. It just harkens back to all those great, you know, weird science EC stories. It's just fun science fiction. And
I'm gonna have to go back. I have to go back and reread all nine.
I got it.
Because I sometimes forget. It's a really good book, but the one problem... I'm really bad at, like, when books don't come out necessarily on a regular schedule, I, like, will forget
what
kind
happened,
of a little bit,
where
and then
the
I have to go back.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
This, I mean, it's a really good book, and it's a really great job of continuing it, and I really enjoyed it, but I'm like, God, I feel like
lost.
I need to
I feel like I got lost. Like,
how did the last one end?
And well, like, if you think about it,
yeah, but you know, I don't mind
stuff.
That. Like, except for the fact that my comics are totally out of order and just in piles around my apartment. But if I had them in order, I would love to go in and get the previous issue and reread the last half.
So
I'm just got piles around. I'm a mess.
What I love about Fear Agent is that it's 9 issues into the series, and there's already a very expansive universe that he's created. Yeah.
And that's another thing I like about it, because at first, it's like, oh, it's going to be a fun book. It's two-fisted man action, so it's just a lot of action and fun stuff happening. But then you get, like, issues into it, and it's like, this is why he's an alcoholic, you know? And this is time traveling, and we're meeting this character that he met before, and he killed that character, and now that character knows that he kills him in the future. It starts layering on itself. It starts giving you more of the motivations.
The other book,
it really becomes such an enthralling story as
like
well.
It's like Godland, in that there's a lot going on in it that, like, whenever I pick up a new issue, I'm always like, I have to go and look back.
I think Invincible is like that for me, in that it's just created a very thick, rich world. And I haven't read Godland, so I'll take your word for it.
It's
Godland's good. Yeah. Godland's a lot.
There's a
60-cent
issue coming out.
It's a lot like in the frame of Fear Agent, in that it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of action, but it's, you know, sort of like a old cosmic Fantastic Four stuff with big immersive world. Yeah. It's great.
It's totally cosmic.
So
it's totally people cosmic. Keep just telling. But yeah.
Yeah, why aren't you reading it? I have Queen and Country Volume 2 on my Amazon wish list for Christmas, and you can't read Godland?
What's up with that?
I'm working on it.
Someone had suggested
Noble Causes, so I'm reading it before I read
Godland. I did want to bring up one other book that I picked up this week. It's a magazine called Doomed. It's a IDW published anthology, like a black and white horror anthology.
It's from the UK.
Magazine.
Yeah, I think it's really the only thing about it is it's rather expensive. It's $10 per issue, so
it's from
pricey.
The UK imported magazines.
I think it is from the UK. I believe
it's by IDW.
It's IDW, but
IDW too. They actually. Their comics are an extra $1 each, so I guess their magazines are an extra couple bucks.
Yeah,
each.
I guess. But
not
it's not good stuff,
but
it's got Ashley Woodard in it. It's got about 4 or 5 different horror stories in there, and they seem to be taken from adapted from different short stories. But there's some really fantastic black and white art. I mean, it really
look at all that Zipitone.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of harkens back to like the eerie stuff and old horror stuff.
Right, everybody's gonna buy that one. Nobody's gonna want the next horror anthology that comes out.
Well, I really enjoy it. I mean, like I said, it's expensive. It's not a cheap book, but there was some really fantastic art. Yeah, Ashley Wood. He actually did the intro page.
Wait, Ashley Wood's a guy? Sorry, I just said.
As well as the a story inside, and then he also did the outro page, and it's just sort of like a fun. It harkens back to a lot of the old magazine horror magazine stuff that was out there, and it's pretty cool. So if you got a few extra bucks, check it out.
And Tom says Buddha with magic fists, which goes back.
That's Iron
to
Fist,
the,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That was my pitch.
Buddha with magic. All right.
Yeah, big round guy.
Big
dragon tattoo.
Iron Fist.
How'd you guys like JLA number 4 this week?
I liked it.
I liked it, but I needed Tom
to
clarify.
Ask me about
I actually like read it. DC stuff. I knew who Amazo was.
I knew who Amazo was, but I was distracted by. I mean, I knew the character to some degree. I didn't like know. I don't know Amazo's
That's
history
Starro
or
on
anything,
the
but. Every time I read some of the new
we are
DC
just
stuff,
spoiling the shit out of books tonight. Sorry, everyone. So,
well,
but go ahead.
No, we didn't really spoil anything. Anyway,
spoilers. The podcast.
Spoiler cast.
Every time I read like JSA or JLA or a new Green Lantern or anything DC that I'm just not that familiar with, because growing up I was a Marvel guy, really more than DC. I read some, some DC. Quite a bit of stuff, but more of the sort of single character books than any of the big group stuff. So I there's a lot of characters in DC that I'm not familiar with. But every week when I read one of these books, luckily I have Tom to tell me, the history of any of these characters.
Those 2 a.m. phone calls.
Yeah, well, you know.
Tom explain the Ultra Humanite to me.
Tom doesn't even bat an eyelash at it, though.
3
a.m. on a Wednesday. I ring him up.
I'm more than willing to tell you all about Dr. Teomaru.
Out of a dead sleep,
Dr. Ivan.
He's ready to explain who Mr. America is to me, or, you know, any of these characters. So
the only way I'm going to know any of this stuff is if Tom loans me his issues. Because I cannot afford to get into the DC universe.
Get into the DC universe.
There are so many other things I'm trying to get into, and I just, you know, I'm trying to spread into other areas. And
the crazy thing about this book is, like, how
funny
it is.
It's got Captain America's shield on the cover.
Starro.
No, that's U.S. Agent's shield.
That's U.S. Agent's shield.
Or, actually, that's...
The crazy thing, the thing I love about this, about Meltzer, is I love Meltzer, and I love how he writes.
Oh, sorry.
And I love the fact that there's... people who hate Meltzer, and the second the book comes out, will immediately be like
bashing it.
Oh God, this is horrible. This is what do you mean? Wow, that's completely out of character.
I'm
what
a big
about
Meltzer
it?
Fan.
And it's like, God,
I like
up,
Brad
man.
Meltzer's
yeah.
work. I tell you, the character I'm really enjoying, Arsenal.
Red Arrow.
Yeah. It's
Connor Hawke.
Was that Hawkeye?
No, what?
He's before
us. It's Speedy.
I don't know who any of these people are.
Speedy.
That guy's the green flashlight, right?
Green lantern.
Yeah. Didn't he just like kind of just call himself Red Arrow? And Hal is kind of like, huh?
No, that was Hal saying. You could see the R because he kept calling him Roy, and then him having to come up with something else that starts with an R, which I think is funny if it's one of the big things that people complain about in Meltzer books. So everyone calls each other by their first name.
Because they're actually like kind of people instead of Batman.
But whatever.
Hey,
I love
Bob,
it.
Shut up, dude.
I love it.
I told you.
I love it.
No. I'm super crypto guy.
I love it. It's fun.
Bob.
I've been really enjoying it myself.
It's the first time I've ever bought JLA.
There you go.
And
it's number four. They rebooted everything, right?
I know nothing.
You know,
the thing about the stuff that Johns and Meltzer and what they've done a lot with these DC books that I think they've done really well is even though like we've talked about earlier is that I don't know a lot of these characters or know their histories, but it hasn't gotten in the way very much of me enjoying the stories. They're good stories regardless. I mean, they write them so it's like
that's what you need to know.
Well, and even more so than that, it's like I may not know, you know, who this character is, but I know that it's important. You know, it's like I know the weight of when something happens with a character that I don't know who it is. I understand that there's a certain importance there that even though I don't know the history, it's still there. The story is being told regardless of if you know the history of it, you know. But if you're like Tom, where you do know all those histories,
then you get
just,
more.
It's just that much more of a bonus.
So I've always been the kind of person who has been like, yeah, you can jump into just about anything. You're just not going to know everything. Yeah. But if it's a good story, then you'll be able to get enough out.
They do a good job, and I think Johns does a good job of.
But I can't.
He makes it so that you go in, and it's not like.
Can I borrow your issues, Tom?
I have trades I could give you.
I read those Flash. I wasn't really thrilled.
Oh, I gave you the Wade ones. I gave you the Johns ones.
He's like,
wait,
I love the Flash. Here, read these. And I was like, yeah, that one's so great.
Tom's crazy.
What's up with Tom? I don't know if I trust his taste anymore.
Yeah, if you want to give Dave your precious childhood memories.
I will crush them.
He'll crush them.
Well, I did the same thing. I just did the same thing to something similar, not childhood memories, but... David Price over at Bullpen Bulletin. He sent me, he had an extra copy of Astonishing X-Men, the first trade, and I read it, and I was just like, it's okay. And I did a review on their show, and I called in, and overall, I liked it, but I was like, really didn't live up to the hype.
Now, were you an X-Men? I mean, you know, from
I knew the X. Yeah.
Were you a fan of Claremont, Byrne, and Cocker?
Well, I started reading the X-Men when John Romita Jr. was on it, but then I went back and read the classic X-Men.
Okay.
Because the classic X-Men came out with those great Arthur Adams covers.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know anything before Giant Size X-Men number one.
Well, that's, you know.
But I know.
Who did the art on the back of the stories
wrote
in the
it
classic?
After that knew any of that
in the X-Men classics?
Yeah.
Who?
The backup stories?
Yeah.
Bolton?
Michael?
John Bolton.
Oh,
those are awesome stories.
I love the backups.
This is something I never knew, so maybe I ask you guys.
Yes.
Are those original to classic X-Men?
Are those backup stories? Yeah, those are all original.
Backup stories so that you would have something extra to buy for.
Yeah. So you can get your
okay. Because I never knew that. I didn't know if that was just something that was...
They didn't appear in the original issues.
Okay, because I was never sure. Because I picked those up when I was 10 years old, so I had no idea if those were actually in the issues. And I didn't know. I always wondered. And now
they were great
there's a little something that I don't need to... Yeah.
That's just a little more
brave. Yeah, they were great covers. I mean, that Adams. First Arthur Adams classic X-Men cover is such, I mean, it's such, I had that poster, you know? I mean, it was just one of those iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. And he did those covers. And then, yeah, I love that they reprinted the old covers on the back inside covers, and then they stopped doing that after a while and put an ad there, and that pissed me off.
Well, it was a great reimagining of those covers.
It was. And Art Adams was, you know, I mean, since his first stuff came out with Longshot, I was an instant fan of his.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy who used to copy all the time, so I still kind of do.
You know? I still kind of do.
I mean, it's like, I look at my stuff now,
I think I said something about
still,
that with your, I guess it your
my,
thing?
Probably my thing.
The thing.
A lot of the stylistic things
thing.
I do now are still, you know, I don't know if we're using the same kind of pens or what, but there are still things where I'm like, man, this is just like when I used to, you know, when I was 20 years ago and I was copying Art Adams, and then I didn't draw comics for a long time, and then I come back and I wasn't drawing that way, and then I do more and more and more, and then I'm going more and more towards what I way I was drawing when I was
10 years ago.
You know, I mean,
you could
know?
Certainly pick a worse guy to copy than Arthur Adams. He's phenomenal.
I mean, I don't mean to copy. It's just somehow it's ingrained.
Well,
in my brain,
it's just,
you know,
influences
that I try to put myself into it. But yeah, it's,
well, you do.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I see Sal and I both have the same book, which has floated to the top of our stack.
It's migrated to this.
Yes. Bullet Points.
Yeah.
Also, Bullet Points number 2 came out last week. It's the Michael Straczynski and Tommy Lee Edwards. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much just calling it the What If miniseries.
Can I read the opening?
Read the opening.
You can cut this out later.
No, go
ahead. Just indulge me.
Oh, God. Dave reads you a comic.
The path a bullet takes in flight is called its trajectory. That trajectory is measured by angle of fire, feet per second, degree of oscillation, and force of impact. This determines the direction and speed by which it passes through flesh, time, and space. That kicks ass.
That was good.
He did the same thing in the first issue.
Yeah.
You know, where he's describing the way a bullet moves and the way it's fired and what it does and the effects it has. And then they have the whole thing where it ties into the JFK and he shows the diagram. Oh,
the magic
good
bullet.
Stuff.
Yeah. Outstanding.
I'll tell you what I've enjoyed, and maybe more so in this issue than the first one, was the Tommy Lee Edwards art.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just all brushwork. It's just gorgeous.
I can't say I like it more, but I like them both issues a lot. I mean, he had the World War II stuff in the first issue that I really liked.
For some reason, with this one with the Hulk, I really...
I love seeing all those 1960s police cars, and he starts tossing them around.
It's got me wanting to go out and track down his Question miniseries.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I got the first couple of issues, and then I... God,
who wrote that? It's all right. So you're liking Bullet Points?
Yes, great book.
Not really. Oh, I'm sorry, but no.
Tom doesn't like it.
I didn't like the end of the last one.
You didn't?
What's funny is that
I'm like the only one.
I know. Well, you actually said on your post that one time DC you said fan. I did not like it at all.
I didn't like the end of
it. So it's like, well, that sounds like every page.
Why? Because it's moving into the next characters.
No, I really like the Steve Rogers stuff, and then the Peter Parker stuff just seemed really like...
I agree.
Here, and then here's this at the end. Like, this also is part of it.
Well, it's going to come back. It's going to come back.
Yeah, well, I didn't... That they had their shot.
Tom, who do you think is going to take out the Hulk, dude?
It's a five-issue
story. Damn you, Tom, you son of a bitch. You're fucking wrong, Tom.
I'm sorry, but half the issue I didn't care about. Half the issue I laughed at. I laughed at the Peter Parker stuff.
That's only like the last two pages.
What about it where you laughed? Yeah. Or what?
I just thought it was like, wait a second. So we have all this stuff that's very... I don't know why I'm being put on the spot on this.
Well, I'm just asking you. We already went through this.
I
on another episode.
You had,
when it was my top of the stack or somebody's top of the stack.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I want to hear it again.
Okay.
We went.
Then go play that.
You have
episode.
The whole thing. Oh. You have this very intricate.
Go to the
thing
episode
with,
archive.
You have this very intricate thing with Steve Rogers. And it makes sense and it's really cool and everything's fun. And then you get like the last like two pages like, oh, also one of the people that got shot was Peter Parker's uncle and now he's a hoodlum. And it was, to me, it just felt like I was reading this whole book and I got to dance.
Tom, that's the power of a single bullet.
Oh. It's the fucking power of two bullets.
No,
one hit
no.
Steve.
No, I just was interested in your opinion. I value your opinion, Tom. That's
no,
all.
It was just
that magic bullet, the one that hits. It was really JFK in the neck. And
the Steve Rogers part was really good, and it got to the end, and I was like, I don't want to read the next one.
I'm like, I can see your point.
Yeah.
I guess I can see your point. I don't agree with it. I can see your point.
But even though that they came back, did you read the next one?
No,
you
no, I just because they do come back to Steve Rogers, which is really interesting.
Yeah, but I was just like, it's like 20 there's years later. Tons of stuff I was more excited. I mean, it's not bad.
No. Okay. I just wanted to hear your thoughts, Tom. You're an intelligent, bright young man. And...
All right, let's pull this train over.
Everything's a train wreck with this guy.
You can pull a train over.
Yeah, how do you pull a train over?
You can slow it down.
Let's slow the train down.
Good point, Tom. How do you pull a train over?
The Around Comics Hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, and there you go. We'll play it on the show. More
can
than
I
likely.
Read something?
Well, no.
Yeah.
Do you want? You got something that I can
well,
read?
Yeah, here.
I never
here.
Get to read anything. Here, I've got a good voice to read.
Tell everyone who our new Frapper Mappers are.
Ah, the new Frapper Mappers. That would be, oh, yeah, no. You give me these names.
All Sucker.
All right. Thanks go out to Brian Ingbritson of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Thanks for being a Frapper pal.
Thank you.
Also to Monica Gallagher in Baltimore, Maryland. Or as they would say, Baltimore, Maryland.
Balmore.
Balmore.
MD.
And there's also, look. Chad Enright has joined the Frapper Map. Good for him. He's from, is that an
Hermiston?
Okay. Hermiston? Orangutan. Oregon. Oh, Oregon.
Orangutan means old man of the forest.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. And it's also the largest tree-dwelling ape. Anyway,
welcome to Tangcast.
Thanks a lot, Chad, for joining the Frapper Map.
And you can join Frapper at aroundcomics.com. And we'll read your name on the show.
Yeah, we enjoy the Frapper.
And speaking of Around Comics, check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the very best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. While you're there, please take a minute to fill out our listener survey. It lets us know who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
I love Sal's announcer voice.
I could have read that so much
like
better,
that?
Though.
I love that. Oh, please.
Just so everyone is aware,
I totally could have.
We post the next week's topics
check
on Tuesdays.
Check out all the great things.
At our forum at aroundcomics.com.
If
you have a chance, please check out the Listener LCS Challenge. Download our flyer and ask your local comic shop owner or manager if they would be so kind as to display that in their store.
Store.
If they do so, we will mention you and the shop on the next podcast and put a link to the store at our site.
Absolutely. And also, if you have a BC chance and you like the show, or even if you hate the show, let us know. At Podcast Alley, you can vote for us and leave a comment. Or iTunes reviews, you can be as cool as Andy Parks.
Absolutely. Would like to thank Athena Voltaire and Steve Bryant for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Tom, Sal, and our good buddy, Mr. Dave Wachter.
Who's
that? Wachter?
God!
Walken Fraser?
Stop it!
I'm just calling him Dave from now on.
Please make sure to tune in on Thursday. We have a really fun, amazing interview with
Gene the Dean, a legend.
And it's amazing because of Gene, certainly not because of us.
No.
He is an amazing, amazing guy, and we had a fantastic time talking with him. So Thursday, Gene Colan. Everyone have a great couple days. Until then, in the meantime... We'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Impromptu humor.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics.
Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love?